Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, at the end of a day that maybe have been weary for some of us, a day that we may thought we was doing right and it turned around, we were accused of doing wrong, and a day where we tried our hardest and it looked like we were pulled back instead of moving forward, you know, it's good to just sit back and just hear and remind ourselves that no cross, no crown. Hallelujah. Jesus bared our cross, our sins. He that was sinless bared our sins. So every time that we someone scandalize our name, or maybe they look at us funny, or they just like dislike us for no reason at all, we got to remember that we can't let that affect us down to the core of our spirit, because that's just a part or piece that goes into your cross, okay? So don't stay up all night worrying about that thing that's going on. Those are just pieces that go together in the puzzle that makes up your cross. No cross, no crown. But remember, as heavy as that cross gets, you're never alone. He will carry you through it. When you can't make it and you say, how did I make it? It's because he's carrying you. You with that heavy burden, you with all of the sin, you with that cross. Because he knows you got to make it to him with that cross. And oh my God, one day, one day, one day, one day, we know not when that day is, but one day, we're going to trade in that cross. Can I hear you say amen, amen? Wherever you're at, one day we're going to trade in those heavy crosses. All of that wearing all through the night, it may endure through the night, but joy is coming in the morning. We're going to trade in these crosses, and we're going to get our crowns. So do you hold on up, brother? You hang in there, my sister. It's not over yet. It's not over yet. I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good. That no cross, no cross, no crown. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But just uplifting us and reminding us that it's going to be okay. That's what we should be feeling in our spirits when we hear something like that. It's going to be okay. Our scripture tonight is coming from the book of Isaiah. And I pray that everyone has their sword. Remember, you never go into a battle without your sword. You're going through some stuff on your job right now. Where is your sword? Are you naked? Make sure that you're arming yourself in the morning time. And then throughout the day, tighten up that armor to make sure it's tight. Your helmet of salvation may be wobbling over to the side if you find yourself that you're losing it a little bit. You find yourself that you're fleshing out a little bit. So let me take a moment. Let me tighten up this helmet of salvation. Let me get my breastplate in order. Let me make sure that it's showing righteousness, that I'm not being indignant, that I'm not acting like somebody out here that's naked in the flesh. Amen? Because when we don't follow the Bible as Ephesians tells us to, and armor ourselves on a daily basis, many times throughout the day, it's just like us getting up in the morning time, going and taking a shower, and walking out the door with no clothes on. We're showing our nakedness, our flesh. We must armor ourselves. Amen? Amen. And the devil, you're in a battle, so there's no way that it's going to stay as tight as you would like all day long. So you have to remind yourself, let me make sure that I still got all my boots of peace. Because there's been some hard accusations coming my way. There's been some hard stuff going on for today. Let me make sure that I am still walking in peace. Let me make sure that I am still bringing all of my requests to the Lord, that I'm not trying to handle this stuff, that I'm not trying to deal with it, that I'm not trying to reach out here and make something work. Just bring all of my requests to the Lord. Because in my prayer time, it says in prayer and through supplication, if I'm praying, if I'm studying, if I'm reading, if I'm tithing, if I'm sowing a seed, if I'm standing on solid ground, then I should be able to do as he said. I'm a member of his family. He loves doing favors for me. I know it ain't favor ain't fair, but that's just how much he loves me. And the same favor that he shows to me, he is waiting willingly to hand it out, offer it out to each and every one of us. Remember, we are his. He is our creator. So let's go into the word with our sword. It said the sword is the spirit of God's word. Say it with me. The sword is the spirit of God's word. In my purse, I got a sword in there. My Bible, I've always got some Bible in there that I can reach out to. It's along with me. I always have my cell phone somewhere that's got the Living Bible app already on it, because I need my sword. I may need to turn back and look and see God, where is that? I know it's right here. Where is it at? I need my sword. I know my favorite verses to help get me through the day, to help me get me through a hard time. I need my sword. Make sure you're not walking up and leaving your sword at home. Just remember, the sun is shining. Thank you, Jesus. The wind may be blowing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We may have mist or rain. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for watering us. But we're still in a battle. We're still in a battle. You wouldn't advise your child or yourself to go over into Baghdad or in Afghanistan and just walk out there in the battle with no weapons, with no training. Neither should we. That's why he gave us his word. The sword is the spirit of God's word. I feel somebody getting it in their spirit right now. The sword is the spirit of God's word. So armor yourself. You wouldn't, when you're ready for training, the training is studying the word night and day, keeping your mind by meditating on the word. Don't turn from the left, don't turn from the right. Keeping your mind stayed on the Lord. You ain't got to be freakish or come out to be one of these scary, spooky people that say that they're so religious that they can't even think about life. They don't think about nothing else. No, you got to live in this life. Yeah, you're living this life. But in all your decisions, you're thinking of the Lord. In all your ways, you're trying to hear his voice as he directs you.
So just like in Afghanistan, you would go to training to learn how to keep your weapon, or what gear you're going to need, what clothing you're going to need. Just reading the word, That's studying with each other. That's being connected with some organization. You don't have to be an organized religion to get caught up in religion, as we spoke about the Jewish people. Miss God because they're caught up with each other in little bitty small details, but it's good to be in fellowship. Thus says the Lord.
It's good to have fellowship with one another. Thus says the Lord. It's good to have somebody in your corner that could be there to pray with you. Thus says the Lord. It's good to have somebody that you can call over in the midnight hour. And you know that someone can still get a prayer to heaven for you. Hallelujah. And it's good for you to be that person to someone. Good for you to be that person for someone. That's your training. That's your training as we're fighting in this battle. Hallelujah. Because you just can't go to anybody and ask for prayer. You don't know who they're praying to, first of all. They may be praying against you. Yeah, they say, yeah, I pray for you, brother. Yes, I'll send that prayer up for you. Now, what God are they praying to? They could be praying to some dead man named Muhammad. He was dead yesterday, he's dead today, and he's going to be dead tomorrow. I don't want no prayer sending to Muhammad. They could be praying to the little man with the big belly, Buddha. Hallelujah. But I praise alive and a living God. I want my prayers to go to my Father, my Abba Father. So when God places that head over you, it's like an umbrella while you're out in the rain, and that should be your leader, your teacher. Whether in your church home, you got to make sure that whoever is your pastors in that church, that they're hearing from God. And God ain't going to tell them so many things and not tell you any of it. It should connect, that what they say connects with your spirit. Even with me as a minister, anybody that you're listening to, it should be something that's coming out of my mouth that you say, that's God. You can say, that's from God. That was for me. That was for me. I know Ms. Devine didn't know anything about it. That's from God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So here we go with our sword open, and we turned it to Isaiah, and that great warrior Isaiah, and we're starting at chapter 6, and we're talking about, it says, a song of praise. And we're going to read just a little bit of this here for us, okay? Starting at verse 1. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God makes salvation, its walls and ramparts. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter. the nation that keeps faith, you will keep in perfect peace. Him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is the rock of eternal living. The Lord is the rock for those who have faith and keep the faith. May those nations, that's you, your family, that's all of those that you're praying for. I tell anybody, you should never get so consumed that you're praying for just you and the ones around you. You should always reach out. If you watch the news, it's a great vast opportunities for you to take advantage. You should be praying for those situations. I mean, not just saying, oh, wow, look at this poor family that's going through this sickness. Oh, wow, they found this person over here that they've been missing for so long, and now they're, you know, their body was just all mattered. We should be serious with praying for those families.
Not just God bless them. That opens the door. But if that was your child, you would want a serious prayer to get to God's ears, right? You wouldn't just say, well, God bless Susie and Bob. No, but if it was Susie belong to you and your family, you would want a preacher, you would want a sister, you would want a brother to get down on their knees and come on and say, let's get this going. Let's get a prayer up here. Amen? Amen? So never just praying for me and my four and no more.
Always ask God, who is it that you want me to pray for today? Opportunities all around me. I tell you, even driving to work. Even driving to work. Every car that I see, I pray over their families. God, as I'm driving, God blesses over everyone that's in my sight right now, dear Father. Wherever their jobs are at, I pray for prosperity on their jobs. I pray for if the leaders is not doing right on their job, to move them out of the way, open up the doors, bring in the righteousness. May they enter into the nations where they can develop everything that you have for them. I pray for their kids as they go to school. Everywhere that just driving, any car that I see, as I'm praying, I bless them also. Amen. Amen. It's a blessing to be a blessing to someone. It's a blessing to be a blessing to someone. It may just be that you said something nice to somebody today. Somebody who said something wrong or cruel and looked at you in a disturbing way, and you just decide that you're just going to stop and bless them by saying, good morning, Mr. John. It's a blessing to be a blessing to someone today. Amen? Again, the scripture was Isaiah 26, and we read verses 1 through 4. Hallelujah. We're just continuing on, and let me just say real quickly, I am your host, Evangelist Von Dillon. My ministry is Tri-Anointed Women of Christ. I come to you live from San Antonio, Texas. I am available to be there for you. You need someone to come and pray with you. You need someone to just lead you and guide you. Maybe you have a question that you're not clear to share of. If I don't have the answers, I know ministers, and we all kind of congregate, and I try to keep a lot of ministry friends around me all around the world. We want to surround the world because God said we are to occupy this world and we are to spread the good news around the world. So I don't want it to just be me with the word of me thinking that I'm so big and bad. It is not about me. But I study because I want him to continue to feed me that I may tell the world about what he said. The same way as you. We all have something inside of us that he's trying to place a seed in there to grow that you may help somebody around you. And you never know where you're going to be. You may be at the grocery store and somebody just needs prayer. You never know where you're going to be. And if they say that they need prayer, I ask you if possible, if it's all possible. Don't tell the sister or the brother, yes, I will pray for you, and walk on off. Say, can we just slip aside here right here? Let's go ahead and just pray right here in the store. Can we just slip here in the bathroom and let's go ahead and have that prayer? Make sure that you are praying for the sisters and brothers. It is life and death situations. life and death situations. We was talking about a little bit about faith for the last two nights and just how it is. And we're moving on a little farther with it, taking the faith and just bringing it to the surface to make sure we're getting an understanding of it. I wanted to just share a little something with you about faith that I, as an example, you know that we hear the phrase again and we read it over and over again that now faith is the substance of things that are hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So we know that. I think everyone can probably have heard that and they can even quote it and tell me where is that. Again, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. We are visual people, visual creatures, so let's see that. Everybody, let's put on your eyeglasses where we can see this. Sometimes we can see better with our eyes closed than we can open because there's so many distractions when they're open. Let's see water. Now, water, get that in your mind, water. Water is the substance for ice. If you want ice, you're hoping for ice. So you need some water to turn into ice, right? So water in this case is going to be the substance. So water is our faith. Because it says now faith is the substance. So water would be the substance for the ice that you're hoping for. Now water is the seen thing for the unseen ice. You can see the water, right? Right now, all you see is the water. You do not see the ice cube yet. You don't see the ice, but you see the water. So water is the seen thing for the unseen ice that you're believing, that you're hoping for, right? So if you come to that, like faith is the substance of things that's hoped for and evidence of things not seen. You know that if you put this water in the ice tray, you freeze it, you're going to get ice. So it's evidence of things, but it's still not seen. So if you have no water, you're not going to get any ice. Does that make sense? If you have no water in your ice trays, you can put them in the freezer, but you will not get any ice. Hallelujah. I feel like you're getting with this, okay? So I'm saying if you have no faith, it's no need of hoping for anything because it's nothing to come. You can't wish for something to come. No faith, no substance, no hope, no evidence. Let's say it again. If you have no water, you're not going to get any ice. If you have no faith, there is no substance, there is no hope, and there is no evidence. Is the substance of things hoped for. What are you hoping for right now? Are you hoping things are going to change? Are you hoping things are going to get better? Do you have faith to do something? God always requires us to do something. Faith without works is dead. I'm talking about cemetery dead. It's dead. It won't grow. It won't move. It won't push you up. It may get you a little feeling, you know, get that little touchy feeling every now and then, but you still will be overcome with fear. You'll be overcome with debt. You'll be overcome with bad health. Whatever it is that you're hoping for, you must continue to stay with God and let Him know, I am asking you, Father, to show me how to grow my faith. Amen. Amen. And we've got to remember, we can't say that, oh, I'm a good person and I'm just hoping God to just get me there. Because the road to hell is just paved with good intentions. And we have to remember that our faith can take us places that our checkbooks and our credit cards can't even begin to think about. You know, you don't have enough money in the bank for that, but you're faith can walk you out of there with a brand new car. And the payments will be made on time. With the payments that you need, our faith can do those things. Our faith can take us places that our checkbooks can't. Amen. Amen. I'm exactly who I want to be, and that's worth celebrating. You need to tell yourself that right now. You are exactly who you are wanting to be. If you want to be stronger in the Lord, all you got to do is seek me. Just seek me while you can find me. I'm exactly who I want to be. I want to go higher. I want to go stronger. And I have faith to believe if I keep studying every day, I'm going to learn more every day. If I keep talking to him every day, I can listen more every day, and he will respond to me. That stillness. You know, the devil shouts things at you. He shouts things at you. But the Lord is just that still voice inside of you. It's so still that sometimes people say, something told me to do this or to do that. That still quietness where the devil is yelling at you. You know you need to do this. You know, we have a lot of different examples that we can go on, but I just thought we should go back to the beginning and look at Genesis again. Genesis 3 and 1, just talk about how the devil was just yelling at Eve to get her attention, to get her to do wrong. You know, he's crafty. He's very crafty. You know, and sin, in Genesis 3, 1, it tells us about how sin began in the Garden of Eden with Eve. Let's say that again. In Genesis 3, 1, it tells us how sin, S-I-N, began in the Garden of Eden with Eve. The 3:1, if you have your sword, your Bible handy, it says something like this. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, ye, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Notice that the devil puts a question in her mind. He knew what God said. He knew what God said, but he puts a question in Eve's mind. Did he really say that? Did you hear him right, Eve? Are you sure? Did he really say that? He knew what God said, but he asked her if she heard what God said. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but all the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Well, and the serpent then replied and said unto the woman, you know, ye shall not surely die. Ye shall surely die? Really? He's like, are you serious? Did that make sense to you? Is someone telling you that same thing? What? Do you think it's, but they say what? Homosexuality is a sin? Come on now. God doesn't control who you love. Love is love. What? This is not Minister Bynes' view of it. This is the Lord. What? Bestiality. What someone does in their own bedroom, that's their business. Are you sure that that's going to be, God's going to look at that next? If he wants to do this with his horse and his cow, that's his business. There's more and more of that coming around. There's more and more of that in the news now. And people are fighting, saying, that's my cow. I do what I want to with my cattle. Child pornography. He said, what? That child was 12, but she agreed to it. She said she knew what she was doing. Why is there anything wrong with it? The same thing, just in different ways, just in different ways, just in different ways. Why should we get married? We could just shack up here together. Why should we wait until we get married to have sex? We're shacking up here together. Let's go ahead and do this thing. You know that I love you. You love me, right? It's because thus the Lord said, it is not of his will. Our creator who made us know what's best for us. So the enemy says, are you sure about that? Now, that again is a direct lie. Now, he started off again with an insinuation by asking her the question. And then he just flat out lied. He says, "For God do know that in the days ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Just flat out lie. He's telling somebody right now today, well, you know, you can't wait until you get married to have sex with this man because you don't know what you're going to get. You got to make sure that you know what you're going to get. You got your whole life with this person. What? Wait? Wait? Well, you know what? You're just stealing from this person. Oh, they're rich. They got enough money anyway. They're never going to miss it. They're never, it's never going to affect them. Oh, this child, this little girl, you see the way she was dressed? She was asking for it. She was asking for it. Oh, this girl over here, look at her. No one else is going to go with her. She better be glad that I'm taking out some time with her. Hey, it's the same thing. It is the same thing. The enemy blasting you, flashing, yelling, screaming to get your attention. Go right over there. He said his wife ain't doing the things that he wanted him to do anyway. Go on over there with that married man. He's taking, he said he's going to buy you this and buy you that. Come on, ladies, I know you know. It ain't probably not one female alive right now that can tell you that they haven't been hit on by a married man. And I said married men can't cheat unless it's somebody that decided they're going to leave the cheater with them. The woman in the Bible, once they hugged, their spouses had found out about all their dirty deeds, then they pointed their finger at this woman. They told Jesus, this woman caused us to sin. This woman, she's an adulterer. This woman is an adulterer. With who? She couldn't do it by herself. It means you and you and you and you have to be the ones that was involved in it to make it an adulterous situation. So Jesus, being our Father, just as cool as he want to be, just, you know, as he was just writing in the dirt, he just said, well, you know what, you know what? Ye without sin, go ahead and just cast the first stone. So that already on suggested what should happen to her. She should be cast with stones. Let's kill her. Let's get her out of the way. In other words, let her get the heat off of us in our homes. Because the females in their homes were probably lashing out with them because of what was going on. So he said, you know what? Ye without sin, go ahead, cast the first stone. Let's get it started.
But when we looked up, they were all gone. They were all gone. Living in sin. Do you think if they had cast that stone? Do you think if that, and killed that woman, do you think that would have ended their adulterous affairs? No, it would have been somewhere else down the road with someone else. And then Jesus stops and he tells the woman, as she looked up, who are your accusers? There is no one here. No accusers are left here. So here's what I want you to do. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. He's calling out your name tonight. He's calling out my name in situations tonight. And he's saying, I have moved all your accusers out of the way. I've shown them themselves. I've held up the mirror to them. They see their own sins. They're so devastated that they have been, they've moved away. But now I need you to do something. Go and sin no more. I've heard so many people tell me, you know, Minister Vaughn, I was only going to do it one last time. I was only going to go over there to that house one more time, and I got caught. I had said I was only going to go on this drug bust, this drug deal, one more time. This was my last time. This was my last time. And I got caught. Someone told me that they were really smuggling drugs, and they before they could get on the little private plane to go over to this country to get the drugs, said their spouse had been telling them, something right about it this time. You're sick. You shouldn't be going. I don't feel like you should be doing this. He was like, one last time. But one last time. That one last time was the time for the setup.
That's all that they did. All the evidence and time that they had and years that they had been building a case, this was their time. His one last time. So now he sits in a federal penitentiary, separated from all of those that he loved, over one last time. One last cigarette could put you in the grave. One last affair could give you a disease that you could never cure. One last lie could be the day that God steps in front of you and calls you home and you haven't repented. Only the pure in heart shall see God. See, we can't get into the gates with sin wrapped all around us. It's just a no entry. You can't get in. You can't get in. You can't get in. You can't get in.
We have to repent of those sins here. And we have to go and sin no more. I know you're saying, I feel like someone is saying that, but we are sinners. You don't have to continue to sin and do that same sin over and over and over and over and over and over again. If you know you're a drug addict, stop hanging out with the people that you know is just smoking drugs. Don't fool yourself to think that, oh, I'm just not going to do it anymore. I just hang with them. No, it doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. If you have a problem with prostitution, you can't just pass by every now and then and get out of your car and go hang out with the prostitute. Oh, I'm just out here too. Because before you know it, some giant's going to come by and offer you something you can't receive. And then you're back in the game. You're back in the game, my sister. You're back in the game. You know it goes to all spiritual tips. All of the high powers, I don't care where you're at, what company you're running, all of the little people down here that is working to make your big company stay a big company, and you're barely paying them the wages that they deserve. You're barely recognizing them. You're barely doing anything. God has his eyes on you. God has his eyes on you. Here today, it can be gone today. It can be gone today. I stand and I break every that has been placed against any of the little people that is down fighting to pay their bills, the paycheck. Working their hardest out, taking out valuable time from their families, trying to work. And if anybody that's in a position to bless them and has not, I pray against it right now. I pray that God does, in whatever way he chooses, that he open up your hand that you're holding so tight and all of the things that is needed, that has been prayed for by those individuals, that they just start to be showering down on them. It's going to be some situations that before you go to bed tonight, somebody's going to have some money for you. Before you go to bed tonight, that pain is going to stop that you've been aching for so long. Hallelujah. All through the weekend, I want you to look out for your blessings. If you've been hurting in certain areas, I want you to start touching that area. I want you to start feeling yourself healed in those areas. I want you to start hearing somebody's got some problems with their ears right now. It's like it's not wax. You can't feel wax in it. The doctor may have can't even find what's going on, but it's something going on with your ears. But I want you to just start laying your hands on your ears and just giving it a rub and saying, God is able. And then you say, thank you, Jesus. You're going to start hearing out of that ear. That buzzing sound that you're hearing is going to disappear. Hallelujah. Don't wait till it happens. Go and start praising him now. Go ahead and start praising him now. We praise you, Lord Jesus, because you're good, Lord Jesus. I thank you, my Father. We thank you, dear Father. We love you. There's none like you. We thank you, dear Father. Somebody's just going to, and it's their eyes. Something about their eyes. Could be allergies. I'm not too sure what it is, but somebody about their eyes is kind of still suffering about their eyes. I want you to go ahead and start rubbing your eyes. And every time when you're just sitting and watching TV, just touch your eyes.
Say, thank you, Jesus. Touch your eyes and start just wiping away all of the things that is in your eyes that are hindering you. Just wipe it away and shake it off. Say, thank you, Jesus. Wipe it away and just shake it off. Say, thank you, Jesus. God's restoring your eyes, your eyesight right now. Right now. Your faith is not being overlooked. He sees you. He hears you. Amen. 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 We're going to have to pick up tomorrow on this, but let's just finish up right here and just stop to read. Just to say to each and every one of you that God is God, and he's God today, tomorrow, and yesterday. And as you seek him, you will find him. And he is waiting so patiently in line. And he's been waiting for some of you for so long. Let not that time come. Don't be fooled to think that you've got tomorrow. Don't be fooled to think that you've got the rest of tonight. This is your opportunity to come to Christ. This is your opportunity right here, right now. If you have not accepted and invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart as your personal Savior, I'm not talking about leaning on mom's relationship with the Lord, but your personal Savior. Don't you want to be with your family again? Don't you want to see who made you? Don't you want to see what he was thinking when he gave you the mind thought to do this and to do that? Don't you want to sit in his presence? Don't you want to look beyond this pain that you're feeling in this earthly body? Don't you want to get to a point that you can just do the things that all of the beautiful places, we'll never be able to see everything, all of the majesty that is going on here. We have seven wonders of the world. How many of us have wanted all seven wonders? But it's going to be a day that all existence is going to be a wonder. And we're going to get that opportunity to be a part of all of it. It's not going to be any time. We're not going to need time. We're going to be in eternity. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Romans 8:18 is one of my favorite verses. And it says, I reckon that the troubles of this world is not even nothing to be considered of the pleasures that we're going to have one day when this is all over. One day when this is all over. I can't even consider the worst thing that has happened to me here. I won't be even to consider those or even think about them. Compare it to what's coming above. Compare it to the glory that shall be revealed to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our time is almost up. Again, this is your host, Minister Yvonne Dennis, and you can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. walkwithmegod@aol.com. I have some beautiful messages waiting for me in my emails, and I just love hearing from you guys. And believe me, the donations that you send to the ministry definitely goes to buy Bibles to send out to different people in the world, anything to help the ministry. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I believe and that you died on the cross. Please forgive them.
You can reach me
at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Until tomorrow's broadcast, I will see you then. You be good and be better at what you do by staying in communication with the Lord. That's called prayer. All right. I love you. See you next time. Bye-bye.